This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Joe Palka in Washington. Today, we're talking about something else. It's actually about a grant from the MacArthur Foundation. You may have heard of these. They're sometimes referred to as the Genius Grants. Over the next 5 years, the new MacArthur Fellows will each receive $500,000 with no strings attached. One of the recipients is Gretchen Berland. Dr. Berland is currently an assistant professor of internal medicine at Yale University School of Medicine. And not only is she an academic medicine professor, she also makes documentaries. Dr. Berland opens a window in today's healthcare issues by giving cameras to her subjects and letting us see their world from their point of view. Her subjects have included medical residents and wheelchair-bound patients. She joins us now from a clinic at St. Mary's Family Health Center in Waterbury, Connecticut. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, I feel I have to say that I know I called you Dr. Berland in the introduction, but I've known you for a number of years as Gretchen. We met at a conference, and I think it's only fair to say that we know each other better as Joe and Gretchen than Mr. Palka and Dr. Berland.
No, if we can keep with Joe and Gretchen, I would prefer that.
Okay, very good. So, Gretchen, how does it feel to find out that you're a genius?
Well, a lot of people have called me many things in my life, and probably genius is not one of them. But it's extraordinary. It's an extraordinary honor and privilege to receive recognition from the MacArthur Foundation. There are there's no one word to describe what you feel when you get that phone call, when you receive a letter from the MacArthur Foundation. It's sort of all of those combinations of those moments of great joy in your life all rolled into one: shock, surprise, humility. So I'm still, it's still a little surreal, and I'm still levitating a bit.
All right. Well, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about this, and I've interviewed MacArthur Award winners over the years, and I guess one of the things that characterizes them is that they've taken an interesting problem and looked at it in an interesting way. And so I think that pretty well describes the kind of work you've been doing with your cameras. I mean, I think I first saw your film about the medical students or starting residents going around the hospital on their first night of call. And now this second film called Rolling, which you produced by giving people in wheelchairs a camera so that they could sort of show the experience from their point of view. How did you get this approach into your head?
The approach, it first started when I was actually in medical school, when I was on a psychiatry clerkship rotation, where it was our responsibility to interview adolescents who had been incarcerated in the juvenile justice system and to identify any potentially, quote, reversible metabolic causes. And you'd look in their chart and you would see maybe two pages descriptions of written by them, often narratives about where they thought they would be 5 years from now, and there would be these very short one-word sentences, and you got a very, very one-dimensional sense of who this person was. And then you went into the room and talked with them, and you realized that there was such a discordance between the chart and the patient. And I thought, my gosh, you know, we're sitting in this very structured environment that's supposed to help these young individuals, and yet there was a sense that you had no idea who they really were. And that's sort of what was, I guess, the idea bubble or the kind of light bulb that started to get me to thinking about, you know, how do you explore the lives of patients, which I think are, for in many ways, have become increasingly invisible in our healthcare system and our society. So that was sort of what got me started, and then it sort of started to snowball and continue sort of thinking about, are the ways the visual medium can explore experiences that no other sort of data collection tool would, if you will, if you were going to, you know, let's say you were going to go into someone's home and conduct a survey or to ask them a series of questions with the sort of a standard interview. But giving a camera to someone sort of can illuminate experiences that often go unfocused. So those little teeny moments that you might not other capture using other sort of methods of data collection. So that's how there wasn't one point in time, but over a series of time, it became clear to me that this would be an approach that I'd like to try to use.
Before I ask another question, I want to invite our listeners to call in. Have you had an opportunity to see Dr. Berlin, Gretchen Berlin's work? What do you want to know about how she combines medical practice with documentary production? Give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-TALK. That's 1-800-989-8255. And we have a cut of tape from the documentary called Rolling, which, as I said, was about people in wheelchairs. This is Galen Buckwalter, a California research psychologist, on his being disabled.
Being disabled is in many ways a reversion to a previous physical state, a butterfly returning to the cocoon, an animal returning to its neonatal state. Children who have yet to learn to walk are not considered disabled. While I can't say for sure, I doubt that their quality of life is adversely impacted by their inability to walk. No one can flap their arms and fly, but because most people can walk and run and climb, and since I can't, I'm defined as disabled. Not only defined as disabled, I'm expected to feel and act disabled.
I guess Galen has got an interesting perspective, which is sort of what you begin to get after watching this film.
I hope so. I mean, that was my. I didn't know what we didn't know what we were going to get when we started the project. And you know, one thing that's come up is that you know each of the three people who participated in Rolling spent about a year and a half with the camera and filmed over 200 hours of footage documenting their lives. Now, if I had gone in with taken a more standard traditional documentary approach and gone in with the camera crew and filmed each of their lives every day for a year and a half, there's no way that we would have captured some of their experiences in the way that they did. And that's what's sort of different about this approach. And it's important because it allows the patient to tell you what matters to them, what's important to them, through their perspective rather than us sort of defining the boundaries and the, setting the guidelines for through how they tell us what matters.
We have a call now from Chris in Providence, Rhode Island. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
What's your question?
Actually, I was calling because I was in a student course a year ago at Providence, Rhode Island, in the Rhode Island School of Design, and my teacher, Mike Majoros, showed us a rough cut of this film. He was involved in the filmmaking. And I was just kind of curious, you know, how it had gotten from where it was at that point when I saw it to what it's, you know, what it's done now, and also how the people involved, the actual patients themselves, felt about the project.
Gretchen, what about that?
Well, Chris, thanks for calling. I think Mike is still up in up at RISD,
yeah,
and the film, that's one thing that's different about the making of this project. It really was a series of, I would say, collaborative iterations. When you're making, we sort of started to whittle down the number of hours, and that occurred with Mike and myself, as well as the three participants and their families, where we would make sort of create a piece of the film at a certain time, go out to Los Angeles, which is where the subjects were all based, show it to them, talk with them about it, get their input, and then go back and take those comments and create the film that way. So it was very iterative and very collaborative through every sort of step of the process, which is in some ways a little different than other traditional documentary filmmaking where you will interview a subject and get an appearance release, and often when the film is about to air, that's when the subject will hear about what's happened.
Mm. Chris, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
We're talking with Dr. Gretchen Berlin, who just found out a week ago and didn't even tell me that she had won a MacArthur Award for her work, presumably. They don't actually tell you what they're for, but her work involves filmmaking from a patient's perspective, and you're welcome to join the conversation. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Gretchen, what kind of distribution have you been able to get for this film? It hasn't been in the local theaters, but is there a way people can see it?
There is a way that people can see it a number of ways. We've been getting some film festivals around the United States. We are going to be in Boston on October 10th at the Coolidge Corner Theater as part of the New England Film and Video Festival. We'll be in Austin, Texas on October the weekend, I think, of October 19th or 17th. We'll be there. We'll be in Berlin at the One World Berlin Human Rights Festival in November. So it's getting played that way. We're also making it available really at cost for advocacy organizations or educational organizations for really $15 a tape, which is what it costs for us to make the tape and ship it. And that's available. They can email me at gretchenberland.berland@yale.edu, and we'll be happy to send them a copy if they use it for educational purposes only.
Okay.
So far, it's made its way to New Zealand, Australia, the Netherlands, so we're quite happy.
All right. Well, good. Now let's take another call. We have Kelly on the line from Santa Cruz, California. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'm wondering if the doctor has thought about making a film on the dying process.
Gretchen?
We've thought about that, and there are a number of projects that I've thought about. It's not what I'll be my next priority, but it is clearly an important area and an important area that other researchers I know have considered.
Yes, it just seems that there are so many things that can be learned from the patient, as you had pointed out, that can be somewhat repetitive from one patient to the next, but everybody's learning as they go each time. So maybe something that was instructive like that would be helpful for the care providers.
I agree.
Kelly, thanks very much for that call. What is on your plate to do next?
What's on my plate next? I'm interested in looking at what happens to soldiers when they come home from Iraq and what some of their transitions back to civilian life will be after an injury. And looking at what happens to those transitions and their interactions with their families over long periods of time. I find I'm always sort of influenced by experiences, and as a U.S. citizen, this has been on the front page and on the radio, and this is something that I'd like to do next. I'm also interested in looking at social class and health, and potentially doing a project about with some of the subjects who are members of our clinic here in Waterbury.
We have time for one more quick call. Diane in Alexandria, welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm a person with a psychiatric disability who really has dedicated my life to trying to increase the understanding of psychiatric service providers to consumers. And I find that the providers are very defensive about learning about how the consumers experience things. And I was just wondering how you got around this in your filming and when service providers see the film.
Diane, interesting question. Gretchen?
Interesting question. Well, I think partly because the focus was not on providers at all, that it allowed us to I wouldn't say get around that, if you will, but it remains an issue. I hope it will become less of a problem as patient-centered care, which is something the Institute of Medicine believes is an important area for us to study. So, I hope that just over time, as long as we continue to try to empower patients through allowing them to tell us their stories, that this will become less of an issue.
Okay, and as you said, the best way to get the film now is to send you an email.
Send me an email.
Okay, if it works, it works. Gretchen, thanks very much.
Thanks.
Joining us was Dr. Gretchen Berland, Assistant Professor of Medicine at Yale University School of Medicine. She joined us by phone from St. Mary's Family Health Center in Waterbury, Connecticut. Gretchen just won a MacArthur Fellowship. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News in Washington. I'm Joe Palca.